Hello, welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be talking about Thor on the big screen. Of course, know my co-host, JT from Saskatoon.
From the Rainbow Bridge of Asgard.
Also with us is Red Ink.
I know him. He's a friend from work.
Tonight we'll be talking about the Thor movies, including the latest trailer for Thor Ragnarok. We're going to talk about the Marvel Thor movies, not the live-action Marvel Thor movies, not the animated movies, not the Daredevil slash
backdoor pilot for a Thor show.
Yes, not anything else, just the live-action Thor movies. So let's start from the beginning. The first Thor movie was pretty much, I give it like a C+, B-, because it is what it is. It's a Thor origin movie, origin story. As much of an origin story as for Thor as it is for Loki, who was the only Marvel villain that had enough mojo to be the central villain in more than one movie. And
the writers of the Thor movie admitted that they were literally hired just to make the movie to explain why Loki is the villain in fucking Avengers.
This is true. And there's lots of weird things about this movie too that just like strike you as Like the biggest thing for me is the fact that Natalie Portman is in it, and I know she can give better performances than this, but she really phoned it in, and apparently she, like, hated the fact that she was in this movie. She hated the fact that she was in any Thor movie, and she did the second movie for contractual obligations, and she fought really hard to get out of her contractual third movie. And I don't know why she thinks she's better than this.
Because she won an Oscar? And everybody who wins an Oscar always thinks their shit don't stink?
Because yeah, she's Queen Amidala and she's better than this?
Yeah, no. Cuba Gooding Jr. got an Oscar and he did Snow Dogs.
Halle Berry won an Oscar and they made her the fucking main focus of X-Men 3.
Yep.
Willem Dafoe is an Oscar winner. They made him the Green Goblin. I'm sorry, I'm getting off topic.
No, actually, William Dafoe in Green Goblin was one of his best roles. And William Dafoe, I mean, he never thought he was slumming when he was doing it either. He acted his heart out in that. And that's the thing is Natalie Portman, I don't know why she got into the Marvel movie thing relatively early before the MCU took off, but she's acting like she's better than this, and that always confused me because she ain't. I mean, and it's not like she's the only like Oscar caliber actor or actress in these movies. I mean, Anthony Hopkins is in these movies.
Rene Russo,
pretty lady, but she still has a jaw like a man.
Like Idris goddamn Elba.
Yes.
Like the Thor movies are like loaded with fucking awesome actors. Like, why would you say you're above it?
I don't know. Why did she say she's above it?
High on her own stuff. Who knows? I mean, Thor, the first Thor movie, I loved it. It's a solid B+ for me. The greatest joy in that movie is watching Chris goddamn Hemsworth hamming it up as the son of Odin, because I'm sorry, that man was born to play Thor. Like, everything that was great about that movie is done by Chris Hemsworth. Like, he's a big guy. He's got that swagger. He's got comedic timing. Like, a lot of people that I've talked to that don't like this film single him out and say he's the worst part. He's just trying to be funny, and Thor's not funny. I was like, what's And they bitch about the whole fish out of water origin story. It's like, well, if they're going to do the origin story, they didn't even establish Don Blake as, like, did you not see the name that they give him when they get him out of S.H.I.E.L.D. custody?
Well, and another thing to keep in mind is they're trying to not do the Don Blake thing in the Ultimate Universe, or not the Ultimate, in the MCU, because you got to keep in mind the Marvel Cinematic Universe is a much more streamlined universe that is trying to get rid of 50, 60 years of continuity and fluff, streamlined for the average audience. Pretty much the ultimate, the version of the Ultimate line, or the premise of the Ultimate line condensed in the film, because the Ultimate line had that same premise of we're going to condense and simplify 60 years of continuity for the new reader until Mark Millar like jacked all the shit up. But
it's not all Millar's fault. It was a flawed, it was a good idea, but it was a flawed idea to begin with, because, you know, it's kind of, they drank DC, just quick aside for the comics, like, the whole Ultimate Marvel thing, it was a great idea in theory, because then we don't have to worry about continuity. Well, even after 3 or 4 years of that, you've got your own continuity to worry about, so the whole thing begins again. The biggest, worst thing with Marvel is they don't have, or at least to the best of my knowledge, they don't have like an in-house historian that keeps track of continuity from all their comics. But back to the movie, you're right when you say that Natalie Portman, I think it's a huge misstep that for her to be all like, you know, I'm better than this because I'm Natalie goddamn Portman. That might well be. And I think she's a great actress, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you're going up against Hannibal goddamn Lecter, Luther, I can't remember her name from Lethal Weapon 3, the Punisher, because one of my favorite members of the Warriors 3 was it Ray Stevenson? Was the Punisher in Warzone. I just gotta look up just to make sure I get this right. But, you know, and they made Volstagg, the voluminous Volstagg, in the comic books, as much as he is a warrior, they've always kind of treated him like a joke. And it's through the art, was it, God damn it, why is my internet not working right now?
I don't know.
There we go, Ray Stevenson, yeah. Ray Stevenson, he brought this sense of humor and warmth to a character that's always kind of been treated as kind of the fool. You know, and to have Natalie Portman sitting there talking shit like that is just, it's lunacy. But like I said, my favorite actor in this, it's Chris Hemsworth and Thor and Tom Hiddleston. Like, this is the movie, this made a movie everyone a fan of Tom Hiddleston, not only for Loki, but pretty much if you like him at all, you check him out in everything else he's done. You know, it's For Lovers Only, what's the ghost story, the Crimson Ground or something like that, that came out a couple of years ago. It was like this gothic romance movie. Help me out, guys. I'm drowning.
I don't know. Let's do.
Okay. Anyway, so I'm gonna ask you, Red. Who is your favorite character or actor in Thor the movie?
Thor? It's obviously Chris Hemsworth.
The Thunder from Down Under.
Yeah, like
Wonder from Down Under.
I've always been a Thor fan since I was a kid. Like, when the movie was announced, my friends fucking phoned me up and like, oh, they're making your movie, the movie for your guy, kind of fucking shit. When it was first announced. And I was hyped for it. But it was kind of a letdown, because it was less a fucking Thor movie than it was a Loki movie.
It was the obligatory movie that basically introduced who this guy is, so people aren't confused when they see this blonde guy with a hammer next to Captain America in Iron Man.
Exactly.
And
it was a good movie. Like you said, it's a solid B plus.
It's a movie that actually has a legitimate plot structure, that does have a plot structure, does have a character arc. It has a beginning, middle, and end. It isn't a confused mess. So it is actually a solid movie. I'm not going to pretend that, oh, this movie was a mess. This was a Star Wars prequel level No, it wasn't. It was a solid movie. It wasn't a great movie, but it was a good movie. It was a structurally competent movie that had all the pieces it needed to go into the next thing. Again, I don't think there's anything negative to say about it other than, just behind the scenes how fucking Padme acted like a bitch to everybody.
Yeah. Now, one of the things in the first movie, it's the little things. Again, all the Marvel movies lead into like the next Avengers movie, and at first, when I remember reading about this, they weren't going to have a whole lot of connective tissue, and it was kind of an 11th hour thing when they added that, blink and you miss it,
Hawkeye.
Jeremy Renner cameo as Hawkeye, And I did love that little bit. It's not much, and it's not like just they call him Hawkeye. There's absolutely no mention of the Avengers initiative or anything in this. But again, to its credit, the first Thor movie, Thor 1, it's a solid building block of the Marvel universe. And that's another thing I love about this, that you almost don't care that watching this, at least in my eyes, I didn't care so much that this was helping build the Marvel Universe. As, like Ben said, I loved the Thor comics growing up. There's something about, these gods that, bringing their battles to Earth, and there's this huge mythic sort of soap opera-ish elements to it. And you did get a little of that in the film, but I think one of my favorite things is the whole fish out of water, like Thor learning to kind of live as a human. Like, he's drinking the coffee. I like this. Another. And then you see him, like, they kind of domesticate him a little bit. And he's making breakfast for him, and he's learned to accept that he isn't worthy at this time. And I know one of the biggest complaints some other fans have had about this was where, the whole he or whosoever holds the hammer, should they be worthy, will possess the power of Thor. And a lot of the people gripe on the whole, how did Thor become worthy if he wasn't touching the hammer at the end when the destroyer was, kicking his ass? I was like, well, he's got that pre-existing connection that for whatever reason was momentarily disrupted. But that all being said, I love the journey of Thor from being this blustery, boisterous god to getting busted down to mortal form, and then redeeming himself by essentially sacrificing himself to save everyone else. And then when he gets the hammer again, it's like one of the best hell yeah moments in a Marvel movie, where he stands up and he kicks the destroyer's ass.
That's something that also bugged, I'll be honest with you, the comic nerd in me was like, Thor should not be able to destroy the Destroyer. The Destroyer is the Destroyer for a reason. And, it irked me
But
a little
that's in
bit.
the comics.
I know, again, it irked me a little bit. I understand. I was just the guy that says they didn't introduce Donald Blake because, yeah, I know, I'm a man of contradictions.
Well, let me take off my power limiter, I guess, and show my true fucking Thor nerd that Thor was able to destroy the Destroyer because it wasn't actually being powered. You're supposed to have a god inside that fucking armor to power it and to make it invincible.
Okay. You got your nerd cred. So
Red coming out swinging.
let's talk about Thor: The Dark World.
You mean Thor versus Doctor Who?
Well, no matter how much Eccleston complains, he will never even for like an anniversary will never sh appear as Doctor Who again. So, because he apparently was like, I was the guy that was the bad guy in Gone in 60 Seconds. I don't need this.
No, it's he's a stage actor. He's fucking what you call it?
And he,
Superstitious. He doesn't do
yeah, and he
sequels.
has, and he has recanted the whole, like the negative stuff he said about Doctor Who in a few years ago. He's like, I still stand by my decision, but he does regret not being of like making time to be in like the 50th anniversary and all that. And you know what? It wasn't. He doesn't hate it as much as you know people seem to think he does. It's just you know I have the way he has the way he operates his career, and that's kind of what he went with. But yeah, it's Thor: The Dark World. The Dark Elves come back looking for the Aether, which is this. I don't know what you would call it. It's this
liquid energy,
powerful, liquid energy. It's this cosmically powerful destructive force that might be an Infinity Stone. And what's an Infinity Stone? And it's all building towards, you know, Infinity War and Thanos and all that. But basically, Thor has, after the Dark Elves come back and attack Asgard, Thor frees Loki from prison. They go looking for the Aether and a way to stop the Dark Elves, and shenanigans happen where Loki is somehow able to replace Odin with no one noticing, and just kind of leave it at that, because then Thor has to go off and do Age of Ultron and set everything else up.
There are some good things in the Thor Dark World. I think that number one, I wasn't a fan of what they did with that doctor, that astrophysicist. They made him crazy. That means for some good laughs, but I think they went a little too far with that.
Because... You mean having him streak nude through Stonehenge?
Yes.
Yeah, Stellan Skarsgård is—he was my MVP of the first film. Like that whole scene where he doesn't quite believe Thor is who he says he is, and then they go and get drunk together, and he brings him back to
makes
Jane's
his ancestors
trailer.
Proud.
Yeah, we drank, we fought, he made his ancestors. Yeah, that's like one of my favorite lines from there. And he's sitting there, I don't believe you're a god, but you drink like one, you know.
Yeah.
And he's a hell of an actor. And you know, as Eric Selvig in this and, you know, Avengers, the guy's a solid, he's a team player, and he does what's requested of him. He gives it his all. And another character I didn't mention, the first one, I know a lot of people aren't a big fan of her, but I love Kat Dennings as Darcy Lewis, Jane's assistant in these two movies. As the kind of sarcastic, you know, just the requisite sarcastic sidekick. And the fact that she's a knockout has absolutely nothing to do with that. And the other thing is, did you know the original actor for Fandral is actually in this movie?
Really?
Yeah. Originally, Zachary Levi, Chuck, from the TV series Chuck, was actually cast as Fandral the Fair in the original, like in the first Thor movie. But I believe due to the second or last season of Chuck, and basically it was a scheduling conflict, he was not able to portray Fandral in the first film. But he had it in his contract that he came back and did Fandral in this movie. And I think he's going to have an appearance in Ragnarok. I haven't read anything that he isn't, but, you know, fingers crossed, because Zachary Levi is a great actor and I loved him in that. What did you think of the Dark Elves in this film, guys?
I think they were all right. I sort of liked their design where they didn't, like, they looked like metal space elves versus like Legolas.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this: do you like? Would you have preferred Malekith to have the magically induced black skin from the comic books, or do you accept the fact that he's basically got burnt toast for a face because of an energy blast in the film?
I'm okay with the burnt toast face.
I'm okay with either.
Oh, but you... Yeah. Now, did you know that there is a lost actor in this movie from the TV show Lost?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Let's see if I can pronounce it. Is Adewale Akinyo Agbaje. It's Mr. Echo from Lost. He was heavy duty in the first G.I. Joe movie. He was Killer Croc in Suicide Squad. He plays the Dark Elf warrior, Curse.
Is he like the lieutenant?
Yeah, he's like the lieutenant. He's the one that he gets taken to the Asgard prison. He crushes that pod thing that like mutates him into like this jacked up dark elf warrior. And I Curse was a character that I always loved the design of the comics, but I didn't read enough of the Thor comics to know his story. Do you know about Curse, Red?
Not really. I can't remember much about him.
In the comics, my favorite Dark Elf story was there was this one story where Tony Stark, Iron Man, was stuck in the elves' realm, and I don't know if you know this, but in at least you know in some mysticism and in the MCU, you know, pure iron has like a poisonous effect on elves, and there's this one scene where Tony like gets this like solid iron armor sent to him. And he's like acting like the boogeyman, and like all the elves are like shitting their collective shit. It was awesome.
Oh yes, when Marvel tried to reintegrate their Marvel UK characters into their comic book universe, because I read that stuff. That's they used the Dark Angel character from the Marvel UK comics that was working with Tony, and somehow that's how he got the iron armor. Now, what did you think of the overall plot of the Dark Elves' return and the return of the Aether opening, like, futzing with physics on Earth and creating, like, basically pocket wormholes and such like that? Did you understand what was going on? Because I had to watch The Dark World, like, two or three times before that made sense to me.
I got it, but that's because I studied lots of different religions and mysticism. And especially astronomy and the astrotheology, and basically the idea of convergence is the idea that if you have what they call a celestial alignment, then the lines between universes thin, and that also means that the lines of reality, including basic physics, thin as well, which is why you could have things where something could weigh like as much as a sheet of paper, but then weigh as much as a car again in like two steps. This is, again, you know, I sort of got it because, again, it's the concept of what they call it again, convergence, you know?
Yeah.
You know, celestial.
Well, I understood like the whole, like the convergence, and, you know, it's a trope in comics and movies for years, you know, the celestial alignment will, you know, react.
It's also bullshit because it happens all the time.
Yeah, no, Rhett's right. It is bullshit in IRL, but we're talking about comic book.
So, like, when you think it's just, like, what can you, like, they just happen to detect the ether, or because of the convergence, the ether was released, and then Jane found it, then the elves, like I said, I had to watch the movie two or three times before.
The lines, the convergence just means that the lines between the universes thin. And what that meant was because the lines thinned, that it meant that several different things could happen. Number one, Jane found the ether. Number two, it meant that the Dark Elves found a way to return back to our universe. That's all that meant, is just the thinning of the borders between realities.
Dimensional planes.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, but like I said, that was the most, because again, if people hated the first Thor movie, I know a couple people who loathed the sequel because they couldn't understand that, and I really did try to help them understand it, but you know, to this day, they're still like, no, movie doesn't make sense, therefore it sucks.
Well, for me, the movie made sense until they changed which gem it was. Because I originally thought when I watched it that was the space gem.
Yes, that made sense to me too.
So, to me, that was like, okay, the space gem is pulling all the space together and making fucking portals and shit. But no, it turns out it's the power gem, which is one of the reasons why it confuses me now. It's like, I've said before, I'm a longtime fan of fucking Cosmic Marvel, and I've kept up with fucking Infinity Gems and shit like that. So, I know what they're capable of, And to me, it made sense. If that was the Space Jam, that's what it would have been doing. Because the Space Jam just manipulates all space, basically. So you can create portals, or you can teleport any place you want, or it can bring you to wherever your heart desires. Shit like that.
But shit wasn't getting blown up enough, so they had to change it and make it more destructive.
Yeah.
Now, raise your hand if you did not like the Chris Evans cameo in that awesome hallway scene between Thor and Loki.
God bless America.
God, I feel so self-righteous. And I'm not saying Chris Evans couldn't be funny, but I literally laughed out loud in the theater when I saw that. As did a bunch of people, and rightly so, because Chris Evans is a funny motherfucker.
He is.
But, and I love the little bits like that in the Marvel movies where it's characters or elements from other films, other titles, if you will, crossover like that, and it's in no way building the universe. They're not leading up to Avengers.
They're just having fun with what's like there.
Exactly. It's like at the end of the movie, like in the end credits, the Easter egg scene we have at the end of the credits where Sif and Volstagg take the ether to the Collector, one of the cosmic elders of in classic Marvel comics anyhow. In this one, he's just more of a he's a very powerful and influential alien, played beautifully in this and the forthcoming Guardians of the Galaxy film by Benicio Del Toro. Like, did you guys love the Collector or what?
I think the Collector, I mean, again, this was a world-building cameo, but I think that I think it wasn't, like, too badly done. I think as a stinger it was well done.
He's not who I would have chosen to play the Collector. I would have chosen Tom Cruise, to be honest.
He's a little too short.
But, Benicio Del Toro is my ideal Joker, the person who played the Joker.
Ooh, that would be good.
But he did a good job.
Yeah, and that's the thing I love. Like, he kind of did his own thing. Like, because if you ever read the classic Marvel comics, folks, the Collector is this, he's basically an elder of the universe. He's up there with, like, the concept of eternity and, was it Epoch, who's this alien that empowered Quasar with the quantum bands, the champion, the grandmaster, characters like that. But Benicio Del Toro just made him, like, very subtly flamboyant and eccentric, and you just kind of, like, even for that brief scene, you want to know more about this guy, and he's got, like, this huge collection of all this cool galactic bric-a-brac. And you can tell from watching, Jamie Alexander and Ray Stevenson, like, the Sif and Volstagg do not want to spend any more time around this guy than absolutely necessary.
Before he decides that they're interesting.
And he makes an offer for, makes the offer to pay them for their body upon their death. Kind of like what he did with Groot in the Guardians movie. Yes. Now, let's just go back to the first movie. Now, what's your standout, like, your favorite scene in the first movie? Or favorite moment? Because for me, it was when Thor, he makes this very heartfelt plea to Loki, who's controlling the destroyer as it wastes the New Mexico town that, everyone's staying in. And, how he pours his heart out like that, and he sacrifices himself and proves himself again worthy to wield Mjolnir, the hammer. So that's my favorite scene in the first one. What's your favorite scene in the first movie?
My favorite scene is actually a total Thor moment. It's basically, he's Loki's frozen that fucking the portal there. And then you see Thor, and he looks at the portal, and then he looks at his hammer, and he just sighs, and he's like, I gotta do the right thing. And he grabs his hammer, and he smashes the fucking portal.
Oh yeah, he breaks the Rainbow Bridge.
Yes.
Okay. Would that be for yours, Ben, or is it
I
something
like
else?
the scene where he uses the enchantment on his hammer like a doorstop. Like he puts it on Loki's chest and he's like, "Okay, stay right there."
Yeah, hold this. Now, I did love that, but one of, and if you're going pure Thor moments, I love it in the second movie. It's not my absolute favorite scene, but one of my favorite Thor moment scenes is where he teleports in that great battle in the beginning, and he just walks up to the stone. And again, this is a reference to his first appearance in Journey into Mystery, where he's basically fighting one of the stone men of Saturn. And he does that. He just twirls his hammer and uppercuts the stone man with Mjolnir. And anyone else? No? You sure?
No.
Cool. Like that's my favorite Thor moment. But again, in the second one, and it's kind of a cheesy moment, is where Loki, quote unquote, dies in his arms. Because up until it clicked in my head, oh no, there's no way this is actually happening. It just for a moment, I felt really bad because Loki found that better part of himself and sacrificed him for his brother. And then it's like, ah, oh, Loki, you did it to me again, you son of a bitch.
Well, again, I think that I love the fact that everyone is like, not if you betray me, it's like when you betray me, I will kill you, is what Thor said to Loki before he let him out, remember? It's
Oh,
not
yeah. And then he's
if,
like,
it's
when
when.
do we get started?
Yes. And overall, I think that there was a lot of fun had in this in Dark World. I think it still didn't quite hit the gold level yet. It was definitely better than Thor 1. I think the fact that they were able to like handle this convergence thing, that like I said is a mystical celestial Marvel event, the fact that they had the ether again, I think that I like the little touches, like the fact that there was this storybook about the Dark Elves, and it's like a magical Asgardian storybook though, and I like the little touches. They could have easily just been a regular parchment book, and we'd still be okay with it, but I love the fact that they made it a magical book. I know that's a lot of
Well,
giving credit for tiny touches, but again, I feel like that's what's required for these sorts of things. Other things I
what
liked.
about?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I was going to ask Red, but you're not done with your favorite thing, so please continue.
I did like the fact that the hammer kept on flying all over the place during the final battle. I like the using of the I like using those poles as a weapon to like take Malekith apart, literally. It's I sort of, as lots of people did, I dub it Portal Combat, and I think that that's sort of like a clever way of putting the final battle. I guess that's my favorite thing about the Thor Dark World.
What about you, Red?
Thor Dark World. To me, it was another fucking. We have to make this movie. Movie. It wasn't so much a Thor movie again. It was to explain the Infinity Gems. And that's why they made this movie. But my favorite moment in that movie is, like Ben said, Mjolnir going back to Thor, and then you see he jumps through a portal and it fucking rockets off into the sky because it's going to jump into one of those portals into the sky to return to fucking Thor. Then he comes back and you see it fucking zipping through the city and going into the subway to get back to Thor.
That was good. Another thing I kind of loved is when Thor came to Jane's apartment, and he just closes the door and he just hangs Mjolnir on the coat rack there.
The coat rack is worthy.
But the elevator isn't alive; it still lifts the hammer. That was probably one of my favorite bits in Avengers, like Age of Ultron. Now, what did you think of Anthony Hopkins in this film? Because I love Anthony Hopkins, don't get me wrong. I don't think he was bad in this movie, but it seemed to me that for what little we did have Odin in here, it seem like it wasn't phoning it in, but it didn't seem like he was giving it his best.
To me, it seemed like he was sick or something. Like he was getting over something.
Yeah, so maybe he was doing his best, but just for whatever in this instance, he wasn't able to do what he does. I don't know, what did you think, Ben?
I think that overall, I think Red is right that this was, let's introduce an Infinity Stone. And while it did do that admirably, I think that it, again, slightly better story, slightly more cinematic story than Thor 1, still was a piece of bridge media, bridging two other pieces of media. This wasn't a tentpole in itself. This was an appetizer to a main course. With that said, let's talk about the trailer to Thor Ragnarok.
Oh God, this movie is like. First of all, and I think I've said this before in the show, I love the fact that the logo for Thor Ragnarok looks like they ripped it straight off of a rock album from the 80s.
The movie is so 80s, and I love the fact that they got Zep, because only the best trailers use Zep. You know, just like X-Men Days of Future Past use Zep. You know, you got to use Zep if you want to.
If you want to get the kids in the theater. I love Kate Winslet as, or Kate Blanchett, sorry, as Hela. And I literally, my mouth dropped.
I would have never thought I would have said, damn, Kate Blanchett's hot.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of people love the darker women.
Go ahead.
When I saw her helmet, like the Jack Kirby fucking helmet, I was like, holy shit, they're actually fucking doing it.
Yes.
I know, I didn't think they were going to get that in there. But I love that scene where, in the trailer, where Thor throws Mjolnir at her, and she stops it in midair, and you can see it's still going, so she's literally just, her powers allow her to hold it back, she's not stopped it cold, and then she squeezes, and she destroys Mjolnir, which I've only ever read, I know it's happened a couple of times in comics, but I only remember reading, like, in the John Romita Jr. run when they brought the After Heroes Reborn, where Mjolnir was damaged, and my mouth just dropped open. It's like, holy shit, they did that? You know? And the whole scene of him being hauled off to the planet Sakaar, and he's captured by the forces of this one, we've got the Grandmaster, who is played, and I'm going to say to perfection, having only seen the trailer, because I believe in him this much, is Jeff goddamn Goldblum.
The Goldblum.
It's Brundlefly himself.
The Malcolm and, Chaos Theory.
Yeah. Life found a way. And I see that, who you got to meet, and it's the character, Tessa Thompson, is playing Valkyrie. Was that chick with like the little white hash marks on her face, and she's like, I brought you a contender, and you see the scene where Thor is thrown in the chair, and it's like any movie or army based movie you've seen where you see like the heroes thrown into a chair and he gets his hair cut off, and that's how we get like the buzz cut Thor with the sword strapped to his back. And I love the scene in the trailer where he walks into the arena and we finally get the Thor helmet. Like, we had it in that one scene in the beginning of the first movie, which was like classic Jack Kirby Thor helmet. And now we got this new space age one where he...
It's even better than the Thor helmet, because that's not Thor's helmet. That's Beta Ray Bill's helmet.
I didn't even notice that. Good eye.
What I love about this is just how they did this trailer, because when the trailer starts and you hear the guitar riff just start going dun 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 dun, dun. It's really soft, and then the hammer is thrown and Hel catches it and then as she's squeezing it the riff gets deeper and louder, and That little bit of cinematography they threw in the trailer was just, oh my God. And
we all had the same look of joy on our face that Thor did when Gladiator Hulk Bat bursts through the door. I know him. We're friends at work.
Yes. Because I feel like that would might have a lot more impact in the movie, because I feel like basically this is like Thor's worst day ever. You know, his home gets trashed, he gets kicked out. I imagine he just got through hell, and he just got out of hell, and he lands on this junk planet, gets captured, gets his hair cut, and gets his hammer destroyed, and he's like, hey, I know this guy. It's like he had the worst day ever.
Now, and I think you guys will agree with me, but was that not the best way to end the best image to end the trailer on was, you know, Hulk coming, arms up, coming down on Thor, and Thor going in with like a classic uppercut.
I think that was great. I think that was great, but I think you're skipping a lot of trailer here. Like, well, like Carl Urban's part in the trailer.
The Scourge?
Yes.
The executioner.
Yes.
Who, and again, that's referencing his fall in the comic books, where he's, I believe that was the story, like where he sacrificed himself so Thor and the others could escape from hell, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That, and you see him with the guns, and he's just like going for glory like that. I do hope he gets the axe, though, because I want to see Carl Urban wielding the blood axe in this movie.
Well, he has the gun, so he's getting his dread on.
Well, yeah. I know. What did you think of Scourge Red?
I think it looked pretty fucking cool. I'm actually really hyped for this. Like, to me, this looks like the first actual Thor fucking movie. A Thor adventure.
And I think, again, Led Zeppelin is perfect, because I think that this movie is like, is good. If this movie is as good as the trailer is suggesting it is, this movie is like a fucking metal album filmed. Because that's what Thor should be. Thor should be like a metal album. It should be like an assault on your senses that doesn't stop.
That you don't want it to stop.
No, you don't want it to stop. It is a, I mean, again, this has, they have to contact Zeppelin and say, we want to buy the rights to five of your albums and just put that as the music for the movie.
That would be so awesome. Oh, man.
Just like what Marvel did with AC/DC for Iron Man 2. I mean, Iron Man 2 wasn't exactly great, but decision.
The soundtrack album was all AC/DC.
Yes, and they should do the same thing here. Is like they should just get all Led Zeppelin songs and just make that the soundtrack for Thor Ragnarok.
No, I know it's. I love, again.
Also, the stylistic shots are amazing. It's like, just like Red said, this is like seeing a comic book, like a Thor comic book, which is an out there, spacey, cosmic, mythological comic book in film. It's amazing. Like, there's this shot where you see the fall of Valkyrie.
Mm-hmm.
And just the stylistic way, the way the sword is thrown, the winged horse and everything, and the falling body, it feels like comic panels, like, picked out and, like, hyper-realized in film. It's, you know what I mean? It's hard to explain, but when you see the trailer, you'll be like, yeah.
No, that was great. And like Red said, like, you're right, like, that they're nailing some comic panel images. Like, that shot of Hela with the Jack Kirby crown, and just the vista behind her is like, that is Kirby right there. And it wasn't Kirby art, but it's got that spirit of, like, from the Planet Hulk comics, because they got elements of the Planet Hulk comic storyline wrapped up in this movie. There is something that is just quintessentially, not specifically Kirby, but quintessentially Marvel goddamn comics, and in the sight of Thor and the Hulk throwing down like that. And I'm gonna say it right now. I'm gonna lay, there's good odds that Hulk's gonna left punch Thor again in this movie.
All I know is
I'm kind of tired of fucking Thor. Fucking what you call it? Thor
jobbing.
Always can't remember the word for it.
Jobbing.
Always jobbing to fucking Hulk. Because these guys, in the comics, they're equal. Thor is fucking Marvel Superman.
Yes. Well, even in the much celebrated, JLA Avengers, it took Superman everything he had to take Thor down to the point where basically everyone else could dogpile on him.
And when they took him down, they were like, "You took down Thor?
Nobody do that." Yeah, you don't do that. I mean, you had Miss Marvel and Iron Man and etc. dogpile on Superman, who pretty much took everything he had to just take down Thor, so he couldn't fight them off. Which I think was the best way they could have handled that was, yeah, Superman can take down Thor, but he's not in much state to do anything else afterwards. But back to Thor Ragnarok, I think this is going to be, if this trailer is not lying to us, going to be one of the best Marvel standalone movies out there. Because they already have build up to Infinity War with Guardians 2, and they don't need much more build up. So this, I think, is going to be the first true Thor standalone. Where they're like, we don't need to introduce anybody. We're just gonna do this movie. Let's fucking do it.
Yeah, they're dropping.
Oh, sorry.
No, you go, Red.
I was gonna say, not only that, Marvel isn't DC. They don't make awesome trailers and shitty fucking movies. They make awesome trailers and awesome fucking movies.
This is true.
Indeed. And that's the best thing about this trailer, honestly, we gotta be careful not to judge the movie entirely off this trailer, but this, like, just the sheer promise of this trailer, like, this Thor, it looks like a Thor movie, it looks like a comic book movie. We're gonna have fights, there's gonna be world-ending stakes, this badass villain. You know, we even got the requisite shot of Loki in, like, the Agent of Asgard kind of get up with his knives and the half-helmet crown thing that he's got going on. It just looks like so much fun. And again, it's the music and the images. And this is by far the most colorful Thor movie that we've had yet. Like, just the bright colors and the contrasting colors and everything. Like, just watching that trailer, I've watched it 4 times already today, and I want to watch it again just to like soak up the colors like that.
I mean, like, even the fat man is like, oh my god, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, like, and it's really subtle things too, like the muted rusty colors of Thor's like breastplate once he gets his haircut, and you got like the two red streaks of war paint on his face, and just Chris Hemsworth looking haggard and tired, and he is so done with this shit. I can't wait for this film. November cannot get here soon enough.
Like, I remember people bitching that Beta Ray Bill wasn't going to be in the movie, but when I saw him put on the helmet and then put the wings up, I was like, holy shit. At least they referenced Beta Ray Bill.
Yes.
Maybe Bill is one of the aliens on Sakaar, or he's in the arena. Like, we don't know for certain yet. Maybe that's where Thor gets the helmet from. Maybe he gets it from Bill. You know, maybe in, like, you know, that would be like the greatest Easter egg in the whole film, is if like Thor is being laid out by Hela and he's been separated from Mjolnir in the final fight, and Bill is all busted up, and he picks up the hammer and, you know, yells for Asgard and lays into her. And I'll just, my inner child is gonna have a stroke if that doesn't happen. Because goddamn, I want this movie to be here right now. But it's not. So, I think we've said enough about this.
Yeah, so let's wrap this up. Overall, say hello to Thor Ragnarok. This is going to be, you know, if the trailers are true, which I think is true, this is going to be the best damn Thor movie ever. This is your host, Ben.
JT from Saskatoon.
Red Ink.
We're saying goodnight.
So long.
Peace out.